the demonstration before the court, before our court in the high court in Jerusalem, about the wall. On Sunday, the court want to take a decision about the wall that's built in Bel'in land. We invited many people, international Israelis, volunteers, and Palestinian in this demonstration, and we raised Palestinian flag to tell the Palestinian we have a big problem with the soldiers, and we have a big flag. This is a Palestinian flag, not green or white or black. We want one flag, and we want to tell the Palestinian to stop the fighting between Gathers, Fatah, and Hamas. Go to the demonstrate against the occupation, to stop the occupation in Palestine land. We do this in, today, in, after praying, after Jummah praying. When we arrived, the soldiers they closed the gate by the fence, and we want to enter. They stopped us, and some of the youngs throwing stones to the soldiers, and the soldiers began shooting rubber bullet, tear gas. It's not far. All of the people who's injured near the soldiers, they don't throw stones and stop. One of the injured is journalist, and their hands is broken, their fingers, and now he is in Sheikh Zayed Hospital in Ramallah.
I was shooting a film of the demonstration in Bel'in. The demo was very quiet. The soldiers were, as usual, very close to the protesters, maybe 3 or 4 meters at the most. Suddenly, the soldiers became alert and opened fire at us. They knew I am a journalist, and I am carrying my camera. The camera and 2 of my fingers were broken. They continued to fire tear gas and sound bombs at us, although we were injured. Many journalists were injured in Bel'in demonstrations. I was wounded at least 32 times, including 5 times in Bel'in. They knew. They shot at me and my cameras and broke the lenses.
And we have another 2 youngs from the internationals. They entered the Tel Shomer hospital, and the 2 youngs in a difficult situation now.
Oh, just protesting against the fence where the wire is. And then suddenly, I mean, from 2 metres, 3 metres, there were bangs, people falling, I was hit in the head with something. I think it was like a sound bomb from 2 metres. And then the camera guy who was next to us, Phil, was just his blood all over his camera. You know, if that couldn't be a rubber bullet, if it's a rubber bullet, we're talking less than five metres. It was like a sound bomb hit or something.
Right.
But he was rushed to the ambulance. I mean, there's blood all over the camera.
Let me see the camera.
It was crazy because it was point blank range. I mean, we were in front of them. Yeah, we were literally in front of them. He fell down. I mean, it wasn't still. He fucking just lost it and loosed off. Blood on his camera.
An Australian ISMer was shot in the head by either a rubber bullet or a sound bomb. We don't know, he's taken away in an ambulance. It looks like there was a lot of blood, but he was shot about a metre range.
Are they shooting rubber bullets or what?
I don't know, it's probably live, seen as there's just Palestinians left.
After that, we take 2 youngs to Sheikh Zayed Hospital in Ramallah. 2 internationals and 3 Palestinians. The 12 people today injured in our demonstration. Now around 15 months, 1 year and 3 months, 15 months, making every week 1 or 2 demonstration. Firstly, in the beginning, we do every day, we make every day a demonstration, and we do 2 demonstration in the week. In this days, we do only on a Friday.
What are your hopes for the court case? And what exactly is the ruling on the court case?
This is the final court about the wall, because we have another court about the settlement that built in our land. I hope if we have a justice in here, they must to stop this wall, because this is in Bilayin land and it's far from the green line, around three to four kilometers from the green line. Behind this wall, this empty area, this Palestinian area and Fort Bilayin village, they built this wall to protect the settlement. But the settlement, it's illegal. They must destroy this settlement. For that, they must destroy this wall. And this wall is not for the security, what they're saying. This wall for stolen the land and to build a new settlement, new houses in our land.
How are people here in Bilayin getting to their fields and their farms on the other side of the wall?
Well, this is very, very difficult, because they put many checkpoints for the soldiers around the wall in Bilayin land. 24 hours there, everyone want to go to their fields, stop there 2, 3, 4 hours, sometimes arrested people, sometimes they tell him you must return, because this is, you must have a permission to enter this land. This is Palestinian land, why they want from us permission? For the cars, we have a room there behind the wall. We want to go to the room and to give food for who's live in this room. Every hour we want to go to this room to take water, food. They stopped everyone and check this their ID for them. Sometimes they say no enter, and you must return to the village, and making many problems. We are in Bilayin now in a difficult situation, because the wall is finished now and the occupation don't do anything and the court don't do anything for us. If they close the gate, we cannot enter to the land and to the outpost of the room that's built behind the wall. And they come and take the olive trees, uprooted it and planted it in the settlement. We're and waiting for the court what we can do, because we have a big mafia with the mayor of the Mudain elite and the companies that built houses by illegal. They don't have a permission from the Israeli government. They don't have permission to build houses. If they close the gate, we cannot see what they're doing, and maybe take the land and build houses and do what they want. All of the village land for the agriculture, for planted by olive trees, is behind this wall. And maybe for us, making the people who live here to go outside the village to Ramallah or to foreign countries, what we call is a new transfer and a new Nakba for Belayin people.
Israeli military forces violently attacked a peaceful anti-wall protest in the Palestinian village of Belayin on Friday, May 19th, injuring 24, including a number of international and Israeli protesters. 15 Palestinian, Israeli, and international protesters were arrested for crossing a razor wire barrier along the wall construction site, and two of the arrestees, an Israeli and a Palestinian, are being held in detention but haven't yet been charged. Penny Quinton is a journalist who was at the protest.
We went to a Berlin demonstration today, and the demonstration, as usual, walked up the hill from the village towards the gate where the demonstrations usually occur. It was a very small demonstration in comparison. There was some chanting at the soldiers. Then everybody split away and walked across the olive orchards towards the barbed wire because the plan was to cross the fence. People threw carpet over the razor wire and walked onto the land, at which point some internationals sat down on the road behind the razor wire and started to have a peaceful protest. The army then went completely crazy. They were firing sound bombs, tear gas and rubber bullets. There was lots of problems. Four people received rubber bullet wounds to the head. 23 people have had minor injuries and 23 arrested as well. Palestinians and internationals and Israelis. One man was shot in the leg, a couple of people shot in the head, huge amount of tear gas, huge amount of sound bombs. This was a peaceful demonstration. People were just trying to get onto their own land, and this is the repression that they're faced with. And it was pretty horrific. One of the IMEMEC reporters was picked up and thrown into a ravine of barbed wire, and then a tear gas canister fired straight into this ravine with him. He's feeling pretty battered and pretty bruised all over. Yeah, it was just a pretty violent repression of a peaceful demonstration. The demonstration was utterly peaceful. There was no stone throwing. After about an hour or so of repression, some of the Shabab from the village started to hurl stones, but the repression had already kicked in. It was then thought that the village of Berlin might be invaded, so the youth built small stone barricades along the road down the hill from Berlin. The army did drive down the hill partway, and it is still feared that they will invade the village this evening.
The village of Belayin has conducted nonviolent protests against the Israeli annexation wall every Friday for the last 2 years, but Friday, May 12th and the 19th were especially violent. During the protest on Friday, May 12th, two international supporters sustained serious head injuries when they were both hit in the head with rubber bullets at close range. And on the 19th, at least four were hospitalized with serious injuries and 20 others were wounded. Seth Porcello is a journalist who was pushed by soldiers into a ravine filled with barbed wire, then choked by tear gas, fired into the ditch.
I was among the first group of people who were crossing over the barbed wire. They had laid down an aluminum sheet and a carpet across the aluminum sheet to cross the barbed wire. They crossed once everybody was over the barbed wire through the fence that hadn't been built yet and onto the road, and people started sitting down. Then that's when the army started to round people up, and it was probably a good 20 minutes after that when things really got out of control. And I was one of a few people who were literally thrown into a ravine with barbed wire, and then a gas canister fired right into the middle of us. So I had to extricate myself from the barbed wire and crawl out of the ravine while the gas canister was going off, and didn't really recover for another, 5 minutes. I was completely blinded by the gas, and it's still kind of getting out of my lungs. I've never been gassed that bad before in my life, but as I said, I was trying to get out of the barbed wire and crawl up the ravine, so I didn't have a lot of mobility to evade the gas. I've never been to a more peaceful protest, and right now the Israelis are cooking up all sorts of ridiculous charges for the internationals that were arrested, for the Israelis that were arrested, and I don't know how much excuse they need to arrest Palestinians, but it's going to be really interesting to see in the future how their characterizations of demonstrator behavior match up to the footage and film that was taken at that demonstration, because there was really no reason for any arrests.
Okay, so obviously they were acting in orders to crush that demonstration.
Yeah, they were infuriated because they were outsmarted. You know, what happened at the beginning of the demonstration was everybody that was demonstrating moved over to the side, and a few kids in the valley threw a couple very soft lobbed stones just to get their attention. And when that happened, about 8 people in the army rushed down into the valley to arrest those kids. And when they were rushing down into the valley, everybody went over to the other side to cross over the fence. And we beat them over to the other side of the fence by a good 10 minutes before anybody knew what was going on. And the army was shamed because they had been once again caught up in their, you know, Rambo tactics of, yeah, okay, we're going to all run down there and arrest those kids, you know, and you're going to watch us. And it was totally outsmarted. It was totally outflanked. And we were sitting on the other side of the wall for 10, 15 minutes before anybody in the army knew what the f*** to do. And so when they got there, it was, you know, it was retribution time. It was time for the army to say, yes, you can do this, but for every inch that you take, we're going to take a mile. And today they took a mile.
This escalation of violence against nonviolent demonstrators comes in the midst of the implementation of Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert's expansion plan, in which he is pushing the completion of the Israeli wall as quickly as possible. For updates, check the International Middle East Media Center at emc.org.